Well, this morning we're continuing to talk about prayer, and you might ask, why do pastors talk about prayer so much? You know, it seems like you go to this church, they're talking on prayer. You go to that church, they're talking on prayer. And here's what I think is happening, is I think God is stirring inside of the pastor's heart what he wants and what he's desiring for his people. Because God wants us to look at prayer not as a duty, like you just kind of, I do my checklist of things that I want to bring to God, and I just did it today, so check, that's done. He doesn't want it mechanical, but he wants it to be out of our desire of our hearts. He wants us to search after him and to pray and to seek him out in prayer. And I know prayer is difficult because we don't always know how to do it, or we might feel a little bit uncomfortable doing it, and we don't know where to even start sometimes. And I was reminded of on Facebook, a pastor was talking about one of his older gentlemen that was health was fading, and he said he's never prayed before. He didn't understand how to pray. And the pastor told him just to put a chair in front of him while he was in the home and just pretend that Jesus is sitting right there and begin to talk to him. And the old man, he started to do that. And he told the pastor, "Pastor, I thought that was going to be really difficult. But, you know, the first day it was like 5 minutes I spent kind of talking to Jesus. And so the next day it was 20 minutes. And then the next day, the next week, it was actually like 2 hours. And as his health began to fade and as his children would come and visit him. And they said that when they came and visited him, when he passed away, his head was on the arm of the chair. And I thought, what a beautiful thing, because that's Jesus taking him home. And it's in prayer where he found rest. It's in prayer where you and I find rest. It's where we find hope. It's where we find this deep connection with God. Prayer, it really is the breath of the Christian life. But yet, of all the disciplines, it's probably the least practiced. It's probably the one that has the propensity to decay the most. And what I mean by that is, like, 1 minute a pastor gives a message on prayer, and then you're praying every single day, or you read a book, and wow, that was really good, I'm going to start praying, and you're all fired up, and you're excited about it. But what happens over time, it slowly dwindles. And all of a sudden, the fire slowly turns into just some coals, and we're not searching out prayer. I mean, maybe you sat by a campfire before. I mean, I love sitting by campfires. And I was a Boy Scout, so I learned to be prepared. So I always bring lighter fluid to start them, right? And so you get all that wood, and yeah, I do put some paper and some little sticks in there, but at least a half a squirt of one of those big bottles, and then what happens? You light it, and there's this big flame just a roaring, and then you kind of just set it around the fire, and you gather the warmth of it. Then what happens is the fire slowly begins to fade, doesn't it? All of a sudden, all the wood is used up, and it's just some embers. Unless you start to take some wood that's dry and you start to stoke it, right? You start to put it on that campfire, then all of a sudden that fire starts to build and to build and to build. And that's what I'm hoping that this series is just going to start to do. It's going to reset the flame in your heart for prayer. Because it's something that we have to stoke. It's something that we have to cultivate, and we have to see it grow inside of us. Because if we don't do it, it slowly fades, and then we don't pray. And a lot of people keep telling me this, and I just got to say, stop making excuses, okay? Because here's what I keep hearing. I'm too busy. I keep hearing this. I mean, I just heard it. Even though I said it last week, I heard it again from somebody. And I'm going, that's an excuse. I mean, to say that you're too busy to pray, you're missing out on what God wants for you. You're missing out on the connection and the intimacy with God that he desires for you to have. And if you just keep saying, I'm too busy, you're missing out on this incredible gift that is a very special and unique gift that God has given his people. And his people are believers. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He's given us this gift, and it's something that we have to cherish. And when we cherish it, we value it, and we use it. And as we cherish it and use it, what happens is we get into this connection with God, and we start to feel his presence in our life. We get to see what he wants in our lives. And I said prayer is like the breath to a Christian's walk. What happens if you and I don't breathe? Any thoughts? You guys can breathe through your ears? If you don't breathe in oxygen, what happens? You die, right? And there's a lot of Christians right now that are dying in their souls because their soul is starving to connect with the Creator God. Prayer is the breath to the soul. You, what you're craving the most, when you're saying, I want to connect with God, or I don't know if God is present, or I don't know where He's at. What you're really saying is your soul is longing for a deep connection with a divine God. And God said, prayer. That's what I've given you. It's a special gift that I've given you so that way you can connect with me and you can develop intimacy with me. And you can have that one-on-one conversation. And the way that Jesus said it in Revelation, if you remember, he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And whoever answers and they let him in, he's going to come in. He's going to dine with them and they're going to dine with him. It's like God is saying that prayer is, you're dining with God. You're developing the intimacy around the dinner table with Him, and you're having those conversations that you need to have with Him, that your soul is longing to have. But I had somebody ask this question. So why do we pray if God already knows what we need? Valid question, because if you remember in Matthew chapter 6, that you got the Lord's Prayer, right? And right before the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says to go into a closet and to get on your knees and to pray, which is basically just kind of getting away from all the busyness and make sure that you're focused on God, that it's all about God. It's not about pleasing other people, but it's about pleasing God. And then when you get alone in that room, you get something. You get a blessing. You know what that blessing is? You get the presence of God. And then you get the presence of God in that moment. But Jesus said that when you're there, don't go on babbling like the pagans do. He said, because God already knows what you need before you ask. So people are going, well, then why do we pray? Well, first of all, the simple answer. If Jesus prayed, shouldn't we pray? I mean, if we say that we believe in Jesus Christ and we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to model what He does. And Jesus looked at prayer as a lifeline to God. In the middle of His life, when He was busy, when He was overwhelmed, when He was going in the busyness of ministry, where He was taking care of people's needs, where He was healing people, the blind and the lame and those who had leprosy, and He's just busy going on. And the earth is falling apart. There's catastrophes. There's things going on. People, there's broken marriages. There's broken relationships. All those things are going on when Jesus is here. I mean, He's overwhelmed. He's burdened. And what does He do every single time? He goes out and connects with God through prayer. Jesus used prayer as a way to continue to press forward in this world, to continue to focus on the will of God. And I can just say this to you as well. If you want to know God's will in your life, then you need to be in prayer. And you need to be seeking Him out in prayer. If you're tired and you're weary and you're overwhelmed, then you need to be in prayer. Seeking out what God is doing. Finding out what He's doing. Let Him charge you. Let Him give you the strength to make it just one more day. Because He says, I want to do that for you. Because I am a loving God that has your best in mind all the time. And I've given you this gift of prayer. Because I know this world is overwhelming. I know that this world is troubling. He said it to His disciples. He said to take heart. Take heart because this world, we're going to have troubles of many kinds. But I've overcome the world. And it's in prayer where all of a sudden you start to find hope. And you start to find out what God's will, and you have the energy to do God's will here on earth. Well, another reason, it's a little bit more complex than the first reason, just because Jesus prayed, then we pray. The other reason is that we pray is we forget the essence of the gospel. The gospel is that God saw a desperate need of His creation, you and I, mankind. He saw that we were broken and we were separated from Him. And our souls were just thirsting for Him. And He wanted to have a relationship with us. And He wanted that intimate relationship so you know that He knows you and He knows that you know Him. And in that relationship, what He did is He sent Christ into this world to die for our sins. And when Christ died for our sins, He put His righteousness on our behalf and gave us the ability to have this relationship with the Father so we can have this intimacy. That's the essence of the gospel, is that God wanted a relationship with us. And it's through prayer that that relationship is developed. And I would be really bold and say this, and you're probably not going to like me, but if you're not praying, you might not have a relationship with God. Or it's going to be a very shallow relationship with God. So if he knows everything, then why do I ask him? Because God wants to know. God says, when you've invited me in, I came in there to dine with you. And we have conversations. We have dialogue. We get to know each other. That's what prayer is. It's that communicating with God and getting to know him intimately. And you sharing those things. But, well, he already knows, Kelly. Okay, human relationships, not much different than our relationship with God. I'm married to my wife, Angie, now for 26 years. I don't know why she keeps sticking with me, but she does. And I'm thankful. Now, her and I, if we don't communicate, if we don't talk, then what happens? We don't have a relationship, do we? It breaks down. We don't know each other. But my wife and I, what we've done over in our life is we've tried to say that our number one priority is to make sure that we're communicating, that we're talking to each other, that we're making sure that we know that the other person knows what's going on in their lives. And my wife and I quite often will walk, and when we walk together, my wife is like downloading, and she's telling me everything from the last week, or if we haven't got together for 2 weeks, it's like 2 weeks of conversation. I'm like, And she's telling me all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, after I've listened to her, all of a sudden, I'm saying, blah, 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 here's what happened to me, here's what's going on, here's what I need prayer for. All of a sudden, we're connected again, right? And we have this intimacy, and I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about intimacy as in friendship, this deep connection, because of that we communicated, that we spend time talking. And, you know, there's times when I know my wife has something wrong with her, and she's overwhelmed, and I can just see it. And I even suspect I might know what it is, but then I say to her, honey, what's wrong? Even though I might know it. And then all of a sudden she starts to talk. And as she starts to talk, all of a sudden a burden is lifted off of her. And she finds peace. Same thing with God. Yes, he knows. But when you take it to God and you start to talk to him, just like you have a relationship with him, what happens is all of a sudden that burden that you're carrying, that thing that you don't know what to do with, all of a sudden it's lifted because all of a sudden you've just communicated to God the Father, and God the Father says, thank you, I got it. And then you kind of go, God knows what's going on in my life. And I can trust him. It might not work out the way that you think it's going to all the time, but you can trust him because he always has your best in mind. And he says, prayer. This is how we develop intimacy. So are you praying? Are you praying in your life? Are you developing intimacy with God? You want to get closer to him? You want to know more about him? Get in prayer. You want God to know you more? He already knows everything about you. But you want God to see your heart even more? Get into prayer. That reveals that you're surrendering. And you're going, here I am. If you want to open your Bibles to Jude chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 17 through 25 again, and just a beautiful section of scripture where it's really talking about how to kind of pursue God in prayer, and that we pray in a specific way. And as we pray, and as we start to understand prayer, we have to understand it's developing intimacy with God the Father, the very thing that your soul is thirsting for, is knowing God. And that's where prayer comes in. It says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And this is the doxology. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So the section of Scripture that we want to focus on, it actually comes out of verse 20, where it says, "But you, dear friends, do something." This is what you have to do. Build yourselves up. Other versions say, and I like it a little bit better, is beloved. Beloved, I think it's more intimate, isn't it? My beloved. That's how God looks at you. He says, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the verse that we're just going to kind of focus on just a little bit this morning again as well. And when you kind of start looking at this section, it's a little bit complex. And I think Christianity is kind of weird sometimes, okay? Can I be honest? Isn't it? Because it's our part. We have our part. God wants us to do something, right? He wants us to respond to him. He wants us to seek him out in prayer. I mean, that's our job. But then there's this other part where God is doing it all, right? God is the one who is building us up. God is the one who is sustaining us. God is the one who is holding our salvation. God is the one who initiated the relationship with me. God is the one who actually moves me to prayer. God is the one who does it all. And it tells us, if you look in Jude chapter 1, the very first one, it says that we're kept by God through Jesus Christ. So he keeps us and he sustains us. But then it kind of gets to this section where it goes, and you got to do your part. And then he goes back into that doxology and he's like going, now to the one who can keep us, to the one that can keep all this stuff, be glory. And that's God. And it's like this complexity that kind of happens and this tension that kind of happens in our walk. Well, if God does it all, then why do I have to do it? There's something in here that God is trying to tell us, that we always have to do our part. And here he says, if you seek him out in prayer, especially in a specific way, praying in the Holy Spirit, it does something. It keeps your love for him. It keeps you focused on him. When you're doing your part and you're in prayer and you're searching God through the power of the Holy Spirit that has been placed in a believer, that it keeps you completely focused on who God is, that he is in control of this world, that he loves you and he cares for you. And all the truths of Scripture, it keeps you focused on that when you're in prayer and you're doing it from the depths of your heart. If you don't do that, if you're not praying, then it's easy to fall out of love with God, isn't it? I mean, because we start to look at this world, you look at this hurricane that is coming, you look at one that just happened, you look at the fires that are going on, you look at the brokenness, you see abandoned children, you see all this stuff. And it gets so overwhelming. It's in that sweet hour of prayer where we're coming into the presence of God and we're searching after him and we're being guided by God. Not our own list of what we want God to do, but we're just being guided. We're just coming in to develop intimacy with God. All of a sudden, something starts to happen. You fall in love with God again. You remain in his love, is what the Scripture just says. And I believe what this is it's another mechanism that God, or another tool God uses in grace to keep us focused on him, to keep us in him. But if you're not praying, you probably don't have a relationship. You probably really don't know the Father. You probably don't know that he really loves you and he really wants to dwell with you. No matter what anybody says in this world, you may have been beaten and broke down and people said bad stuff about you, saying you're worthless. God looks at you and says, you are treasure to me. But it's only in prayer that all of a sudden our eyes are lifted up. I love God. He loves me. But if we're not in prayer, then all of a sudden we lose that focus and we get lost in the world, don't we? We get discouraged. We wonder, is God still in control? He's in control. Because it says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. So you have our Savior, Jesus, is the one who's keeping us and presenting us to God with great joy. Isn't that beautiful? But it's in that prayer moment, as we're developing that prayer moment, that all of a sudden we start to understand that these things are true. There's a verse out of Luke that just kind of try to get us to grasp and to understand that, yes, we have our responsibility, but yes, God is sustaining it all. I know it's very confusing, and I wish we could get this, but there's something confusing about when you have the action of a mortal like us, a human, and the action of the divine coming together. It's hard to explain it. God's doing stuff. You're responsible to do stuff too. In Luke chapter 21, verse 36, it says this. It says, "Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." I mean, this is like kind of Jesus saying, this is your responsibility. Now pray this. Do you pray like this? Seriously. Do you pray like this? Do you pray, "God, give me the strength to withstand the coming ages. Give me the strength to stand before your Son when I'm standing before him in the end, when with all my sin is revealed, all my wickedness is revealed. Give me the strength to stand on his righteousness and what he has done through the power of the cross." Do you pray like that? Jesus is telling us that we need to pray like that. That's our responsibility to pray. Is that, "God, help me. God, help me to understand who you are. Help me to understand your love. Help me to understand what it means that Christ died on the cross for me. God, keep me." Do you pray that way for yourself? How about for your children? Do you pray that way for your spouse? "God, keep them from falling. God, help them to stand before Christ on that day. God, help my children to stand in front of you and in your righteousness and not be squashed by the weight of their sin, but to be able to stand because of who you are and what you've done. God, give them the power to stand." I sometimes hear people saying, "I gave up on my kids. I prayed for them for years." Here's what I'm telling you, don't give up. God's not done. And he answers these types of prayers. Give him the power to stand. And then here's an example of where it's God doing it, okay? Jesus is praying for his disciples, Peter. And Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he knows Peter is going to betray him. And Jesus begins to lift Peter up and hold Peter up and sustain Peter, because Peter's trials are going to be too heavy for Peter. And Jesus prays these words for Peter. He says, "But I have prayed for you, Simon," which is Peter, "that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." I mean, Jesus is praying for Peter, who has walked with him for 3 years. He's seen all the miracles, got to touch Jesus, got to be with him, sat under his teachings. And here's Jesus going, "God, I'm asking you to do something. Hold on to him. Protect him. Maintain his faith. When his trials come, don't let him get crushed so he loses his faith. God, maintain that." And most of you know the story. What happens is the rooster crows 3 times, and Peter's denied Jesus Christ. Said, "I don't know him. I don't know him," 3 different times. And I think in that moment, I think Jesus and Peter locked eyes on that last one. And maybe Jesus had some tears in his eyes, I don't know. But you could just see the mercy and the grace coming out of Jesus, sustaining Peter in his faith, and Peter goes away, broken, ashamed, because he denied his Savior. But then Christ, after he's risen, restores Peter, encourages Peter, sets him back up on top of his faith, and then all of a sudden he uses Peter to make the church explode throughout that region. God's maintaining the faith. God's holding on to it. We got to do our part. So are you praying? Are you praying for your soul? Are you praying that God's going to hold on to you? Are you going to pray that you're going to have strength to endure the next trial that you're going to go through? Are you praying for your wife, saying, God, please watch over her while she's working. God, I know she's on the road. God, please sustain her. Don't let her to fall to any temptations, or don't let him to fall to any temptations. Are you praying those kind of prayers? Are you praying for your children or your grandchildren? God, sustain them. God, keep them. In that moment, what's happening is we're developing that intimacy and that trust with God. And that's what prayer is about. So, question, what is praying in the Spirit? Because you have this author in Jude going, I want you to pray in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, you're upholding your faith. And when you're praying in the Spirit, what happens is you remain in God's love. So what is praying in the Spirit? Well, first of all, it's not this. Praying in the Spirit is not tongues. And I love my brothers and sisters that are charismatic. I love the different churches that have all that passion. But here's one thing that we disagree on, and it's okay for us to disagree. I'm not bashing them. Don't hear this as a bash. We just disagree on a certain part of God's word. We believe the same thing, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he is the only way, he is the way, the truth to the Father. We can agree on that, and we unite under that. But we can disagree on some things. They'll say, pray in the Spirit. And I grew up in a charismatic church. Pray in the Spirit. And what happens is they want everybody to start speaking in tongues. And I'm just telling you, this is not what God is talking about. God is not talking about prayer, this type of prayer, praying in the Spirit, as a different language or a different kind of prayer language that you would use. Now, let me say this. I believe in the gift of tongues. I believe it is something that God still uses. I believe that it is something still obtainable to the believers. But I also believe that it's a prayer language for you and the Father, where you're connecting with the Father. That's what I believe. I don't believe that you call a bunch of people together and go, hey, let's pray in the Spirit. And then everybody starts uttering tongues. No. Paul would say that's not right. Well, praying in the Spirit is this. You're being guided. You're being instructed by the Spirit of God. He's doing it all. You're following him. You're searching after God's will. That's what praying in the Spirit is. It's making sure that it's not you doing it. It's God doing it. Well, Kelly, you said, we got to do our part. We got to pray. Yes, you got to pray. But you need to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And that's what praying in the Holy Spirit is. It's not weird. It's beautiful. In fact, Jesus, if you remember, when he ascended, and right now we know he sits at the right hand of the Father, he ascended, he did something. He sent the Holy Spirit of God to dwell in the believers. And the Holy Spirit is inside of a believer and speaking and guiding and instructing. But you and I have to pause. You and I have to listen. And it's only when you have intimacy with God that you can hear that voice. Instructing and guiding. And when he's instructing and guiding, my heart is lifted and focused on God and the love of God. Not on my agendas, but on God's will. What he wants to accomplish here in my life, your life, in this world. And it's beautiful when we get there, because it's not like a pressure thing. It's not like you have to come up with words, because the Holy Spirit's guiding it. He's giving you the things to pray for. How does that work? I told you last week that I spent some time just on my vacation just practicing the praying without ceasing. And praying without ceasing is where you're just praying about everything. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're going, all of a sudden something comes into your heart, into your mind, and you just pray for whatever it is. And I know during that moment, I kept having these little like moments where God was going, pray specifically for this person. And you know, in my mind, I'm like going, I prayed for them before. I prayed this, I prayed that God, you'd protect them. But then all of a sudden, what was happening when I was surrendering to the Holy Spirit, that was trying to guide me instead of me guiding him, what started to happen, all of a sudden, all these things that was going on in their life, which I had no clue about, just started coming into my mind, and I just started praying these things. And I know other people in the church have said that they prayed for my son before, but they didn't know why they're praying for my son, and they're praying these things that they don't even know. And you know what that is? That's them meeting God alone, and they're praying in the Spirit. They're being guided. They're being directed by him. So that's what praying in the Spirit is. It's not something weird. It's not a love. It's not like another language, another form of prayer. It's prayer, guided by the Spirit of God in you. Now, just so you understand, there's a couple of verses I just want to look at, so you know it's not, so I'm not just saying that it's not tongues and just kind of winging it, but the Bible kind of points to this. It says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And this is praying in the Spirit. They're praying on all occasions. You're praying wherever you are, whatever you're doing. That's not praying in tongues. It's you're driving in your car. You're praying for whatever God's putting on your heart. You're sitting in your cubicle at work. You're praying for them. You're sitting at home and your children are driving you absolutely nuts. But God is saying, pray for this. And you're praying for them. As you're walking down the road on a path and you're holding hands with your spouse. And all of a sudden God's going, pray for them. And you're doing it. And that's prayer in the Holy Spirit. And another verse that Paul kind of points to this as well in Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I mean, this is simply saying that when you and I are so broken and you and I don't know what to say, we don't know what to do, we have a Spirit that is within us that is interceding on our behalf. When you're just standing there going or sitting there on your knees, you're just weeping going, God, I don't know what to pray. God, I am so broken. God, I'm so afraid. The Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf, lifting you up in your weakness. And He lifts you to the point where, as Romans says, Romans 15 says it this way, it says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies to our spirit that we are God's children. So you have this moment where you're overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. It's like you can just cry out, Abba, Father. And that's what praying in the Holy Spirit is. You're crying out, Abba, Father, from the depth of your soul. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do because you're so broken. But you know what? You have a Spirit that's stronger than you are. And He reaffirms. He says, guess what? Yeah, you're broken. Yeah, you don't know what to do. But you know what you are? You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. You are somebody. So you have this beautiful thing that happens in prayer. So what do we got to do to pray in the Spirit? How do you do it? Simple. Surrender. Take time. Be with God. Stop saying you're so busy. Start admitting that you're dependent on Him. Yes, you initiate the prayer. Yes, you pray. But make sure you're depending on the Holy Spirit as you pray. That's how you start to pray in the Holy Spirit. And you trust God. You trust Him. In spite of everything that's going on in your life, in spite of what's happened in the past, in spite of how maybe He didn't answer this prayer, you still trust Him. Because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good, right? And we trust. So we walk in faith with dependence on the Holy Spirit of God that's in us. And we're walking through this life and we're looking for moments where we're connecting in intimacy with God and we're surrendering more and more of ourself. And as you begin to trust Him, how do you know you're praying in the Spirit of God? Here's what I would tell you. Make sure you know God's Word. The way that you know that you're praying in the Spirit is that you're praying in the will of God. And the only way that you know the will of God is if you are in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the will of God on earth. If you know God's Word and you're praying God's Word as you pray in the Spirit, what happens is you know that you're focused on what God is focused on. An example of that is Paul himself. He's praying, this is what he's praying. He's praying for his broken Jewish people, his friends and families that don't know Christ. And look at what he prays, and it's in chapter 10, verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. How many of you know people that don't know Christ? You got a lot of praying to do, don't you? How do you know if you're praying in the will of God? You're praying for the salvation of people that don't know. You're praying that God would move on their behalf and would wake them up, if you will, and see this need that they have. They have a need for a Savior, and the Savior is Jesus Christ. And you're praying that, and you're pleading that over people. That's how you know you're praying God's will. Another way is Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Are you praying for your enemies? Can I say this? Sometimes your enemy is your spouse. Right? Sometimes you're battling them and you're upset with them and you don't want to even speak with them. Are you praying for them? Or are you just turning your back on them? Are you bringing them before God, going, God, uplift their faith. God, sustain them. Make sure, God, that you are moving on their behalf so that that way they will have the strength to stand when Christ comes. God, I don't know how to love them. Are you praying that? Are you praying, God, help me to love them? God, here's their needs. Your children that just irritate you. Are you going off on them, screaming at them? Or are you going, God, right now my child is my enemy. There's so much brokenness there. God, will you redeem that relationship? What about friendships that are broken, severed? Are you praying for them? Are you praying, God, will you redeem this? Will you restore this? Not change them, God, change me. Right? Because here's what I know. If you're praying for your enemies, it's hard to hate them. If you're praying for your spouse when you're really mad at them, it is hard to hold on to bitterness. When you get disgusted with your children, but if you're praying for them, it's hard to just shove them out and say, good luck, see you later. And when you're mad at your parents, are you praying for them? Or are you just rebelling and running away from them and saying, I don't need them? Or are you praying for them? Because when we pray for people, you know what happens? It keeps us in the love of God. And when we stay in the love of God, you know what flows out of us? The love and the mercy of God. So when you see that, or you think about prayer, it's a lot more than just saying a laundry list. God has given it to us as a precious gift for us to cherish, to use to grow in intimacy with Him, to maintain our salvation, to keep us in His love, and to lift us up when we're broken, to give us hope, to give us strength. So let me ask you, why aren't you praying? What is in the way? What is keeping you from spending time with God? And I'll just say it this way, it's worth getting rid of that stuff so your soul can breathe again. Because there's a lot of you, your souls are gasping right now. And you need a touch from God. So prayer. It's powerful. But pray in the Holy Spirit. Be led by God. Be led by the Spirit that is within you. Let Him do the guiding. Let Him do the instructing. And you follow. That's praying in the Spirit. Join me in prayer. Mighty Heavenly Father, we just come before You, and God, help us to understand this mystery of prayer. We desire it. We long for it. We know it's important, but God, we just let this world crush and put out the flame of it, Lord. God, build us up again. Stoke that fire inside of us, Lord, and help us to be consumed by connecting with You. And finding You in this world that is so broken. God, give us energy, give us strength, restore us, renew us, and build us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.